One of the videos I posted on my YouTube channel received the following comment from someone who watched the video. And just for the record, the question had nothing to do with the actual post I put up there. I don't know why people don't read, listen. Anyway, someone put this post up there and said, "What's so bad about heaven that the angels chose to rebel? I thought heaven was the ultimate paradise and it could never get better than that. Obviously, the angels weren't happy for whatever reason." While I'll give you my answer at the end of this homily, we find some insights in today's gospel that help us to understand what's going on with this rejection of God. In today's gospel, Jesus receives word that Lazarus, a friend of his, is seriously ill. So what do the scriptures say Jesus did? It tells us he stayed there for 2 days. Now, you would think if you got word that someone you loved, as the scripture said, a friend of yours, is seriously ill, you'd drop everything and take off. But Lazarus' death is going to be one of the signs in St. John's gospel that points to the divinity of Jesus Christ. For Jesus tells Martha and Mary, they're the sisters of Lazarus, that Lazarus' death was going to be for the glory of God. Jesus Christ will be glorified through it. When Jesus finally goes and sees Lazarus, he's been dead for 4 days, and he's in the tomb. As a result of this, this encounter with Jesus, this theological debate breaks out in the scriptures. Martha, Lazarus' sister, wants her brother back right now. Jesus tells Martha, "You know, Lazarus will rise." And Martha, being a woman of faith, says, "Yes, I know he will rise in the last day." So the stage is now set for the glorification of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live." Now, the resurrection of the dead is something that only God can do. Only God can give life. So if Jesus is able to raise Lazarus from the dead, then he is doing something divine. That would make him a divine person and then worthy of glorification. So Jesus goes to the tomb and says, "Okay, take the stone away." And Martha rightfully says, "You know, there's going to be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. So Jesus reminds Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God?" So Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. And a man who's been dead for 4 days walks out of the tomb very much alive. Now, the last verse of today's gospel shows how the glorification of God comes about because of this. It says, "Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what Jesus had done began to believe in him," began to believe in Jesus. Now, we might be tempted to think that it's all about Jesus. "Hey, everybody, look what I did. Aren't I great? Glorify me." But one of my favorite Bible verses in today's gospel, in the midst of all this confusion and emotion and theological debate, we see the fullness of the humanity of Jesus Christ in three beautiful words. When Jesus is standing in front of the tomb, knowing in moments Lazarus is going to come out of the tomb, we hear those three beautiful words, "And Jesus wept." Jesus weeps over the death of his friend. Jesus weeps over the death of his son, being God, right? The very next verse tells us why Jesus wept over this death. It says, "See how he," Jesus, "loved Lazarus." Jesus' actions were not motivated by self-aggrandizement, "Look how great I am," but out of love for a friend, love for a son, love for a beautiful person that Lazarus is. Now we read in 1 John 4:8, God is love. And that's one of the attributes that we study in seminary. God's very essence is love, perfect and infinite love. In John 3:16, it says, "God so loved the world that Jesus Christ came into the world." God loved us so much, he took our nature upon himself and entered into the world so we could experience God face to face. Then Christ tells us in John 15:3, that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that is what Jesus Christ does. On Good Friday, he will offer his life so that our sins can be forgiven. An innocent man laid down his life so guilty people like us could live. Do we ever really stop to think about this love that God has for us? God is perfect. He needs absolutely nothing. God didn't create us because he missed the dinosaurs or he got bored with the chimpanzees. God loves us because in Genesis 1:27 we're told, we are made in the image and likeness of God. We are his children. And I think about the love my parents have for me, then I multiply that by infinity, and it's hard to wrap my mind around that. I think it's hard for us to really understand the depths of love that God has for us, because it's hard to imagine perfect and infinite love. And that's the love that God offers all of us. But God's love requires us to act. God will never force his love upon us. You can't force somebody to love you. Love must be accepted. Love must be treasured. And love must be returned. This reality answers the question that I started my homily with. What's so bad about heaven that the angels chose to rebel? I answered as followed. The same reason why people reject love, happiness, etc. in this life. The problem was not with heaven, but with the angels. The angels chose to reject God's love, and that's why they left heaven. They chose to leave God. They chose to leave perfection. Unfortunately, many people do the same today. The greatest tragedy in our world today is love lost. All this love is being offered, but not being accepted. Again, God loves us more than we can possibly imagine. So if God's love is not at the center of your life, we have two more weeks to kind of, before we get to the Easter, take some time to pray and meditate about that. I am loved perfectly and infinitely. I know it's hard for me to wrap my mind around that, but I try. And when I do, I usually get a big smile on my face, right? God loves us perfectly and infinitely. If this is part of your prayer life, part of your reality, then share that. Right? So many people are looking for love in all the wrong places, like the song says, right? What are they looking for? They're looking for perfect and infinite love. That is a love that only God can offer. So we're called to accept that love of God and then bring that love of God to the world.